Now we've heard so much concerning true worship. We heard about this wonderful spirit, and now all of a sudden we're talking about the world. Did something go wrong? Yesterday we were all so happy that we can be true worshippers to bring the Father an offering out of what we've experienced, and now Christians speak such a harsh word concerning the world. Why do we bring these two together? Why? Yeah, because the world also brings these two together. John relates these two together. The Lord himself related these two together. And Paul also mentioned the two together in his epistles. For example, in James, I want to continue where Christian stopped. He says, "You adulterers," James 4, verse 4. Adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. This verse is so clear. It doesn't even say he who is a friend of the world is an enemy of our Lord, of the Lord Jesus. We just heard the world kills the Lord. Here it says, friendship with the world is enmity with God. So whoever, therefore, wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. This really needs to be deep in our consciousness. If we have a desire to please the Father, then we cannot love the world. That's not possible, because the love of the world is enmity with God. Sometimes we Christians have a tendency to love everything. Yeah, and love just kind of wipes everything together. But God doesn't wipe anything together, at least not at this point. He says very clearly, friendship or love of the world is enmity with God. They need to be aware of this. And if we want to serve the Father, then we need to hate the world. We heard that we are priests. Paul wrote that we are, or Peter wrote that we are priests to sacrifice spiritual sacrifices, to offer up spiritual sacrifices. But before that, it says that we are holy. The priests in the Old Testament, we heard in the third meeting, do you think that the priests were simply able to just go sacrifice and offer up sacrifices the way they were? They could just bring in the dust of the world that they had on them. The priest had to cleanse themselves thoroughly. They are a holy priesthood. I think it's clear. It should be clear. We cannot love the world. And this represents the conflict in which we often stand. But the Lord shows us a wonderful solution for this conflict. I'm going to draw these three circles just really shortly, and we shouldn't think we already know them. They need to discover it again new. We always need to rediscover it. We spoke so much already about the Spirit that dwells in us here in the middle. And I want to characterize the Spirit shortly. What does the Lord say, or what does the Scripture tell us about the Spirit? We already read in 1 Corinthians 2, verse 12, that we have not received the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God. We see there is a spirit of the world. It exists. But we have received the Spirit who is from God. So that means the Spirit that is in us, what is in our spirit, that is from God. Even we saw the Lord, he enriched this spirit through his life on earth. And even before he was born on earth, the angels told Joseph, For what is in Mary has been conceived by the Holy Spirit. We see, or conceived, born of the Spirit. That means the Lord has nothing of the world. He wasn't even born of flesh. He was born of the Spirit. He was completely separated from the world. We need to see that. John 1 verse 10 says, He was not in the world, and the world became through Him, but the world did not know Him. Why did the world not know the Lord or recognize Him? Because the world had nothing in Him. There was no overlap. That's why the world could not know Him. He was completely separate from the world. This Spirit that has nothing from the world in it, this Spirit is in us. We can imagine it like this. If you put oil in water, right? Have you ever tried this? Pouring oil in water, what happens? Yeah, they separate. Yeah, if at the beginning it's called hydrophobe, it's to resistance of water. This is the Spirit that we have. It resists water. Not water. It resists the world. It's world resistant, not water resistant. World resistant. You could say that we are a world phobe. A world phobe. Yeah, we have completely against the world. So what is our problem? Do we have a problem? We have this wonderful Spirit in us. It has nothing of the world in it. Our spirit is world resistant. So do we still like the world? Christian mentioned many examples. Do we like the world? Do we seek satisfaction in the world? Do we seek things in the world? When you come home at night, you're totally exhausted. What do you fill yourself with? What satisfies you? Yeah? Internet, Facebook, do you watch a movie? Do you just want to relax? Yeah? Are we world resistant, world repellent? I think we can find many examples where we notice that we're not that water repellent or water resistant. World resistant, world repellent. We need to see that we also have the flesh around us. This flesh has a completely different character because the flesh is very tightly knitted with the world. Yeah? The flesh is really, it draws the world, it attracts the world. Our flesh and the world, they really can mix and be connected very well. Yeah, our flesh lusts for the world. It has such a desire for the world, it cannot give it up. Our satisfaction in our flesh is the world. At least this is the way it is when we live in the flesh. This is what Romans 5, verse 12 says. So that's why, just as through one man sin entered the world and death through sin, thus death spread to all men because all sin. And this is our flesh. This is in our flesh. Whatever is born of the flesh, that is flesh. So what do we do now? In this situation? We need to dampen our flesh. We need to reduce our flesh. Or let's start with a positive aspect. We need to strengthen our spirit. This spirit that is world phobic, that has nothing of the world in it, we need to strengthen this spirit. And we need to reduce our flesh. You know, our flesh has some connection to the world on certain places. They are lusts and desires, all sorts of things. This is the connection of our flesh to the world. And we need to cut off these connections because we are not of the world. And how do we do it? How can we make it to dissolve all of these connections? We can read a few verses what the Bible says about it. For example, in Romans 12, verse 2, the word is the beginning. We can take the word. Romans 12, verse 2 says, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Do we grasp and claim this word for ourselves? Then we already have an offering. If we experience this, we already have an offering of the Spirit. Or Ephesians 4, 17 says, or first let's read Colossians 3, verse 5. "Therefore, put to death your members that are on the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry." But now, verse 8, "You yourselves are to put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth." Can we do that? Can we simply just put off all these things? Yeah. Out of the flesh we can't do it. Romans 7 tells us this already. The flesh cannot fight against flesh, and the flesh cannot fight against the world. But Romans 8 shows us that the Spirit in us can fight against the flesh. The Spirit can put flesh to an end. But we need to be wise. We need to be sober. We need to strengthen our spirit. We shouldn't be so naive and think the Spirit will do it. The Spirit will take care of it. We need to take heed to our spirit. You know, often I read Romans 7 and 8 and I believed it. But often I ask myself, why can't I enter into the experience of Romans 8 verse 2? Should we read Romans 8 verse 2? Let's read this. Romans 8 verse 2. "For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death." Do we all experience this? Is this our experience? Amen? Yeah, really? "The Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death." We really need to experience this. But there is a prerequisite for us to be able to experience this, and this prerequisite is that we are in our spirit and that our spirit is active. You know, brothers and sisters, Paul said concerning the Spirit, "Do not dampen the Spirit, do not quench the Spirit, do not grieve the Holy Spirit." That means it's possible for us to quench the Spirit. The Spirit in us can be quenched, it can be grieved. And what happens with a grieved spirit, with a quenched spirit, is it so strong that it can experience Romans 8, verse 2? A quenched spirit, is it full of power? I don't think so. And this is often our experience. Often we wonder why it doesn't work. Why doesn't it work with me? But we don't see that the entire week long we actually were quenching our spirit, and that we were grieving our spirit. And this spirit was fleeing into the basement, into the very last corner. Because anywhere we go, the Spirit has to go. The Spirit dwells in us, and it has to go with us. And if you go into the world and you enjoy the world, your poor spirit, he cringes. He is quenched. He hides. He runs away into the very last corner of your basement, and then we're surprised why we can't overcome the world. And then we say, "I can't experience the world. The word doesn't apply to me. It doesn't work with me." We shouldn't quench the Spirit. And then on Sunday, "Oh, my spirit, where's my spirit? Where'd it go?" Well, Lord, my spirit. Then we sing a few songs, and the spirit starts to thaw and starts to come, can come out of the basement and starts to breathe, and then we experience the spirit very shortly, and then we are already satisfied that we experience the spirit. Oh, I experience the spirit. That's how we often do it. And then on Monday, poor spirit has to move back to the basement. He's locked up there because we talk with our colleagues, we talk with our classmates, we talk like the world talks, and our spirit, he can't hear it. He can't handle it. So now I hope you understand why we have to talk about this, the world. If we want to bring the Father our offerings, through what do we bring these offerings? Through the Spirit. But how shall we bring offerings and kill our flesh if we ban our spirit into the last corner of our being? No, that doesn't work like this. We need to strengthen the Spirit. Then the Spirit can fulfill the function that we see here in the Scripture. We shouldn't think that the Word isn't right or that it doesn't work for me. We just need to read the Word correctly and do it as it is written. When the Lord says, do not love the world, and in he who loves the world, the love of the Father is not in here, and he who loves the world, he is an enmity of God. We don't just write, it's not just written like this, and whether we take heed to it or not, isn't that tragic? No, this word has a huge effect if we take heed to it or not. It has an effect on our spirit, an effect on the life of the Lord in us. If we grieve the life of the Lord in us, then it can't do what it was sent in us to do. The life of the Lord was sent in us so that it can transform our being, that we can kill the flesh, put to death the deeds of the flesh. The lust of the flesh should be killed by the Spirit. And if we achieve this together with the Lord and say, Lord, deal with my lust and my desire, my longing for the world, and we supply our spirit, then we will experience how our spirit can overcome in us. Then we can bring an offering to the Father, a well-pleasing, acceptable and specific offering. I enjoy this. I like this. A specific offering, not just a general praise, but a specific praise. I had a similar experience during the time of the World Cup. I really like soccer. And I tell the Lord, I said, if Germany wins, I'm happy. Yeah, it's like this. When Germany wins, I like it. And if Germany loses, I'm grieved. I could have made a goal, you know, and he is running around and you start thinking about it and analyzing the game, and I'm not that free. And I saw how dependent I am upon this, and I came to the Lord and said, this can't be that I'm dependent upon a soccer game, that whether I feel good or bad, happy or sad, and I shouldn't make this game to determine my satisfaction. My desire should not be filled by this soccer game. I told this to the Lord before the first German game at the World Cup, and the Lord really filled me with himself. And I hardly looked at any game during the soccer game. I only looked at the last 4 minutes. Okay, it was 10 minutes. The last 10 minutes of the game when Götze shot the last goal. The last 10 minutes of the last game. Okay, it was Götze. Okay, then, oh, this is funny. The name of the soccer player who made the last goal of the German game that won the World Cup is Götze, and that means idol in German. So his last name, Götze, means idol if you translate it into German. So you could say idol. The idol scored the last goal to make Germany win the World Cup. So now you get the joke. Brothers and sisters, this is the point. This is what Christian mentioned, this relationship to the Father. Read Psalm 73, read it. The relationship to the Father, the relationship to the Father is what should satisfy you. The Spirit, he's jealous in us. he's jealous so that we would satisfy ourselves with the Lord. So, you know, when we come home and we're empty and we have really have a well-deserved time out for our soul, yeah, then we should give this time to the Lord. If we replace this with anything else, this is idolatry. We shouldn't replace the Lord with anything. Our soul, what we need for our soul, should not be replaced with anything except for the Lord. With the Lord, if we are filled with the Lord, if we are satisfied through Him, then do what you have to do. Satisfy yourself with the Lord. Fill your desire with the Lord. Go to the Lord so long until you are satisfied. It's good that we take heed to this. Otherwise, we serve the idols. Recently, the school children we asked, they said, "We don't have any idols." And we asked them, "Yeah, what do you think idols are?" And they said, "Yeah, these little images, these little carved images." Yeah, what are these little carved images? They're pictures of God, of a God. Yeah, they replace God. And what does an idol do? An idol replaces the true God. And how often we replace God? We replace God's place in us. This is idolatry. And then we cannot bring God an offering, at least not any offerings that are acceptable to Him. That's why, brothers and sisters, the world... We should not underestimate it. But we also don't need to be discouraged. You know, in Christianity, you only hear how evil the world is. If the Christians are honest, they always tell you how evil the world is, but they never tell you about this wonderful spirit that you have in us that can overcome the world, that it living in us, and then later, after you've overcome the world, then you can bring this as an offering to the Father. No one talks about this. Only everyone is talking about how bad the world is, and at the end you see how bad the world is and you see how bad you yourself are, and then you are condemned. We don't need to be condemned, but we also should not be loose with the world. Often we are loose because we think, yeah, I can turn after that, I have the world, I can take the blood, and in the weekend on Sunday we turn ourselves and we are filled. Okay, but in this conference the Lord is showing us that it's not just about our turning and are being filled, but it's that we need to be transformed, that we experience the Lord, that this flesh that is so corrupted, that it is changed. The Lord prayed not that He takes us out of the world, but He prayed that we would be protected, that we would be kept. He doesn't want to take us away from the world. He also didn't change the world to make it better, but He wants to achieve this goal, to transform our flesh. Then we can bring the Father an acceptable offering. Amen. 1 John 4:14 says that we are strong by the Word of God that dwells in us. Let us fill ourselves with the Word of God. This strengthens us. Let the Word of God dwell in you richly. The Word of God should do that for which it was sent for. You know, sometimes we turn ourselves to the Spirit and we don't immediately may have the experience that we are freed from the lust of the world. But we also have the spirit of faith. So let us activate the spirit of faith and not immediately be discouraged or not immediately get up. And then we will see how the faith will do this in us. Faith is that which we do not see, we see that it becomes substance in us. We believe that God's word will take place in us, even if we don't see it or feel it in every situation immediately. But we believe in the Lord that He is working in us. Amen. So maybe now we can have some testimonies.